Hello, listeners of Enough. It's Mike here. Just want to give you a little message before we start this week's episode. The 70 Decibels Network is going to be having its first annual award show, the Golden Headphones of 2011. This is a show that we're going to be putting together, hopefully sometime in January, which will include all of the hosts, and we're going to be giving out awards for things like the best episode of the year of all the shows, the best show of the year, best host, best newcomer, and a bunch of other awards too. Now, we need your help for this, because we want to know from our listeners what the best are. We don't want to be the ones that make the decisions, because it's you guys that should make these decisions for us. So you can fill out a survey, a little questionnaire, where you can fill in as many of the answers as you like. There will be a link to it in this week's show notes, and you can also find it by going to 70db.net/70dbawards, or just look for the link in the show notes, as I say. Please fill out as much as you can there, and we will be able to put together a fantastic award show for you, which will include all sorts of fun stuff like clips. It will have all of the hosts hopefully involved, and we'll have music, bright lights, the whole shebang. So please do what you can for us, and it will be much appreciated. Now, straight on with the show.
Good day, Michael.
Good afternoon.
How are
good
you?
Evening.
Yeah, well, evening, morning, whenever people
it's
are listening to
it's afternoon for
this,
you, evening for me.
And, it is.
And it's probably it, somewhere in the between for everybody else.
Yeah. And depending on when people are listening to this, it could be morning. You know, maybe they're on their morning commute. It could be evening. Maybe they're on their way back home. Maybe they're listening to this at home while playing with their kids, in which case, go spend time with your children. I'm the Internet's daddy.
You are. In so many different ways.
I feel that old most days. So on a previous episode, it will either be one or two episodes ago as you're listening to this, because Christmas screws up everything. Mike, you mentioned you've completely moved over to your MacBook Air 11-inch. For, like, everything.
I have, yes.
I feel like, so we've already done a how bare is your Air when you purchase this thing. But I almost feel like this is almost call for another one, just simply because, I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, because you're recording, what, two or three podcasts a night now or something like that?
3 days a week, pretty much two a night.
Two a night, 3 days a week.
Yep.
Now remind me again, which you got you didn't get the 64 gig Air, right?
No, I did want a 64 just, you know, for the sake of having a 64, but I really felt that I needed the 4 gig of RAM.
Yeah.
I actually went to an Apple store to get it, and they could only do me the 128 with 4 gigs, so I figured I'd take that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that does give you some extra room for all of this audio work that you're doing.
Yeah, because I didn't expect to be moving production, so it's good. I mean, I'm not storing the files anymore. So what I've done in the past, I would edit the shows down and keep the GarageBand file around for a couple of months, and then remove it, because the way that I looked at it, and I still look at it this way, once the episode has been released, I don't need to keep the GarageBand file anymore. After a couple of days, so I know that there's no crazy errors on it, mm-hmm, I don't need to keep the original file because it's already out there on the internet. So what more, you know? I personally have not, in nearly 2 years, needed an episode of the Bro Show afterwards. So there you go.
Okay.
And now that has, so I was still keeping the like the MP, like the AAC files, the edited AAC files around. But now it's got to the point where I think to myself, why do I even need them? Because they're all stored online. And if something happened where Buzzsprout or Libsyn exploded, I'm sure somebody in the world will have a copy of the episode. And if they don't, well, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't really need them after they're gone.
You know, here's the thing about, I've been thinking a lot about this lately, that we have, as a culture, embraced and almost put up on a pedestal the idea of permanence, when in fact everything about this world is impermanent, right? And so the fact that, you know, this all kind of goes into stuff that I've been writing about for the book and things like that, but the fact that we can keep something around forever, and I'm putting ever in forever in air quotes there because there's no such thing. but the idea that these things can live online, we've got all this storage space, and well, what's a few megs? It doesn't hurt anyone. I mean, especially when I've got, 2 terabytes available to me at any given time, and another, 50 gigs in Dropbox, and what's a few? And I guess my argument is that, well, because it's not real, right? Real, mm-hmm. real is things that disappear. Real is things that die. that's the truth of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in complete agreement with you that what's the point? What's the point of keeping the stuff around? And if everything were to explode tomorrow, somebody somewhere would have a copy. And if not, what's the big deal?
Yep.
Those that got to hear it, got to enjoy it, everyone's happy. Why do you need to keep that stuff? I love it. I love this. I love everything about this, Michael. Like, seriously. I mean, increasingly I've been, thinking about, how interesting would it be to have a blogging engine that, you put up one post and that post has a self-destruct timer.
Wow.
That the database only contains one post, and so the post disappears from the internet either A, when a new post appears, or B, after X period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea being that this is a great post and is good enough to read right now. Don't wait. Or if you subscribe to the RSS feed, terrific. You can save it forever by just keeping that file marked as read in your feed reader or whatever. But
yep,
if you don't, goodbye. And why keep it? You've read it. You've taken it in. You don't need to keep it. You don't need to reread it again. That means there are some posts that are worth rereading again, but they're far and few between. So. Mm-hmm. I kind of went off on a tangent there. So all of your, all the production, GarageBand, whole nine yards, you're doing all of that on the 11 share. You're not using any external drive to store any of this stuff or to work off of or anything like that?
I can pretty much store everything that I need on the 128 because I don't have any music or any photos on here. They're all still on the iMac. And I back up. I do sort of a periodical backup to a time machine.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
So that works pretty nicely for me.
Yeah. Well, especially because this gets to another idea about kind of digital impermanence I've had. And that is, if you're doing something like a time machine backup, or if you're doing something like a crash plan backup, or even Dropbox comes to mind.
Yep.
If I delete something, I can get it back if I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the case of Time Machine and Crash Plan, they do file versioning. I mean, that's what they do, right? And so if you delete, the whole purpose is that if you delete something, you can go back to a time before you deleted it and retrieve it. Right?
Yep.
So why do you have to keep it?
And and also Time Machine keeps the sort of local cache mm-hmm. for a while, which that works pretty well for immediate kind of backup, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dropbox has a similar feature in that if you delete something out of your Dropbox, you know, or you delete a file, you need to get it back, you can go to your Dropbox, to the Dropbox website, log in, and get said file back, undelete it.
And I sort of store most of the things that I need there as well.
Yeah. So I've thought about that. I thought, okay, why not, take something, throw it in your Dropbox, wait for the little wheelie thing to stop spinning, and then delete it. Right? Knowing that it's you can get it back if you need to.
How long did I keep it there for, though?
That's a good question. One I don't know the answer to. I believe it's a freaking long time. Something akin to the life of your account, but I don't know that for sure. but even still, let's take Dropbox out of the equation, because the thought of letting some company that I don't necessarily own or control, hold on to my stuff like that and rely on that for any given period of time, no matter how much they're charging me per month or per year, doesn't necessarily sit well with me. But Time Machine, crash plan to my own server, forget about it. I don't need to keep throw it all away. I can always get it back. I don't need any of it. Seriously. Goodbye. All I need is the stuff that I'm working on right now. Everything else, I can chuck it if I really wanted to. I can always get it back if I need it.
So, I mean, at the moment I'm using GarageBand, and I plan on next year making the move over to Logic. This is going to be in part to, I'm making plans on how to upgrade the entire setup for the network, which will include multiple boxes for Skype, and a mixer, and all sorts of fancy stuff.
Wow.
That's one of the reasons I want to sell my iMac, to try and raise a bit of cash.
Gotcha. To be able to get all Dan Benjamin up in here, huh?
Yep.
Oh, all right.
And I also want to, this is terrible, I've got to take this chance to say, by doing this, it will improve the qualities of all of the shows. And the best way, if you enjoy this show or any of the shows in the 70 Decibels network, if you go to 70decibels.com/donate, you can set up a donation of any amount, which any amount will be greatly received.
Yeah.
Or a if buck. You want, yeah, anything, because anything will help. Yep. Or you can set up a regular donation, like a monthly donation. Or if you want to get something out of it, you can sponsor the whole network, and all of that money will go into a pot which will help us buy the equipment that we need to go forward. And because eventually as well, I mean, if this floats your boat, it will mean that we will be broadcasting the shows live when they're recording.
Nice.
Because that's what all of that equipment will allow me to do. So nice. If you want to hear the two-hour recording, that is enough, as opposed to hearing it in those chunks, and you can do that.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's kind of nice.
And I'm also, trying to work out, I'm keeping a list of all of the people that donate, and there will be, in future, these people will get something special. I don't know what that will be yet.
See, there you go.
Keeping a list of all of those people's names, and that's if you subscribe, like I do a regular donation, or a one-off donation.
All right. Here's the deal, folks. First of all, $5 is nothing. $5 is a burrito at Chipotle, right? You don't have those in the UK, but over here that's not a lot. But what you do have in the UK is this: that's £2.50, give or take, depending on the exchange day.
Subway, which is like, kind of in a way.
Yeah. I mean, you're just throw a little bit of money. And if you're enjoying the show, because quite frankly, as you may have just heard, so three nights a week, Mike, you're recording two shows.
Mm-hmm.
You're spending all of your time, all of your free time making this happen. And you're about to embark on spending even more of your free time and a whole lot of money to try to make it even better.
Yes.
Like,
because I love it, and I love the listeners, and I want to, give people the most for spending their time, because I appreciate it.
Well, and not just that, but also, I mean, you're building a network here, right? You're building, I mean, this is no different than Twit. This is no bit different than 5x5.
No.
I mean,
And I have, or we have, another two shows that we're looking to bring to the network in the new year.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about them
later. Yeah, yeah, that's a scoop right there, my friends. Yeah. That's a scoop.
Other apps that I'm using, I was using the Ecamm call recorder, and I've sung the praises for that for a while, just to record the Skype conversations. But all of a sudden, when using it on the MacBook Air, it was cutting out massive parts, like 10 minutes off the end of some of the recordings.
Wow.
Which was horrifying, having done a couple of episodes of the Bro Show, and it had cut the ends off of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was not fun trying to get them fixed. So I've moved to Audio Hijack Pro. And I love it. Love it. And I would never recommend Ecamm over this, just because it's more, you know, it's so much more than just a Skype recorder for one, but it allows me to do things like split the recordings. So if I'm doing an off-the-record recording, I can record that and then just press the split button and start the Bro Show straight away.
Nice.
So I don't have to fiddle about with things. And it's got loads of quality settings as well, which it allows me to do. And, you know, it's a much more advanced application.
Nice.
So I'm enjoying that.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is... I mean, I'm just, like I said, I'm just kind of floored by this. Because I really do think that part of my impetus behind the whole how bare is your air shtick is to force people, or to ask people, not to force them. I don't force anyone to do it. Right? I'm not Kim Jong-un.
I like that. That's a good topical callback.
That
was
topical. So you like that? Yeah. Yeah. I just stuck that in. To challenge people to think about what enough is. I think, and I'm, once again, I struggle. I'm guilty of this as well. I have people sending me applications to test and to try, and here's a free promo code, and, you know, here's, you know, please check this out sort of things all the time. I get at least 2 to 3 a day. I'm not joking about that, right? And I look at this stuff. I check it out. And stuff that's like, ooh, I want to check this out even further, it sticks around for a while.
Yeah.
And it's real easy to just kind of let that stuff pile up, right? I have a whole, we, you know, kind of recently started in on this whole, you know, going through our home screens series, I should say. Whereas I had 4 screens, I now currently have 5. Why do I have 5? Why do I have this extra screen? Well, because I received 2 or 3 apps that people wanted me to check out and that looked interesting. And Beatrix, the other day, I wanted to keep her busy, so I downloaded a bunch of, you know, a bunch of kids' games on here that I don't normally have, wouldn't normally have, but I didn't have her iPad with me. And I say her iPad because it certainly no longer belongs to me. I just borrow it when needed. So essentially you've kind of arrived at this on your own.
Yeah.
Just through using it, just realizing, you know what? I can do everything I need to right here.
And part of it, I mean, I had a wake up call-y type moment, where for some reason the iMac that I was using was having trouble connecting to the internet. It wasn't connecting via Wi-Fi very well, and it was dropping connection. So at that point, it was like, well, I have to now try and find a way to at least do the recording. So then I started doing the recording. So I recorded a couple of episodes of some shows, and I thought, right, so I'm going to move them back to the iMac now. But the way that I would do that is by Dropbox, local sync, but my iMac wasn't connecting to my network. So then I was like, right, well, I have to edit them on the MacBook Air. And then I recognized how much faster I was able to edit because of the SSD.
Yeah, gotcha.
So then after that, and I mean, on the iMac, I was terrified to have anything other than Skype open and recording.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just worried. I don't know why. But on the MacBook Air, I don't close any applications. I've got Safari, Evernote, Envy, Alt, Scrivener, Reader, Mail, iChat, Twitter, they're all open on like on other screens. So yeah. I have like a dedicated screen, so I'm just looking at the recording. Yeah. And I don't notice any issues with quality or anything like that in the call conversations.
Well, I mean, that's normal for me. Right now, I've got, we're making this recording. I've got Safari, Mail, Reader, BusyCal, MVAlt, Chrome, Google Chrome, Byword, Yojimbo, my Fluid app that runs all of my business stuff. So, you know, three tabs loaded in there for Hi-Rise and Backpack and such. And then Twitter, Mac Journal, Skype, and QuickTime. Those are all running right now as we're recording. I don't even think twice about it. I do now. I will say that I do tend to, I'm not going to be, downloading a 2 gig torrent file while we're recording. So, I do think about that. I do think about, okay, what kind of big downloading things might be running that I need to shut down, or what kind of major backups or copies am I going to be doing that I don't want to do while the show's going on, right?
Yeah.
So I think about that way, but that's more about bandwidth for Skype, and because Skype is so temperamental that it is a problem with the Air.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was more just me being crazy.
No,
but at the moment, like, the iMac mainly just sits off on the desk, which is one of the reasons why I'm looking to sell it.
Yeah,
it's just sitting there. Yeah. All it really is now is a hub for my media. Which, I mean, I don't really even use a lot of that anymore. Just pictures. I mean, my music is my Spotify everything, and videos, I don't really have any. And the only other reason we use it to watch streaming TV.
I mean, you can throw that stuff on a USB hard drive and access it that way if you really need to. You don't need a whole iMac for that. Yeah, wow, that's great, Michael. I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, I'm really, really pleased. It's made. I mean, the MacBook Air is. I know I'm just adding this opinion to the massive pile of people with the same opinion. Is the best computer I've ever owned. It is head and head with, it's sort of head on with the iPhone to the best gadget I've ever owned.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't touch my iPad anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would be a hard choice if it, so for me. Although I touch my iPad all the time, obviously I wrote a book on it. But if you were to force me at gunpoint to decide whether to keep my iPhone, my iPad, or my MacBook Air, I'd have to say, well, how much time do I have? Because, I don't know. I can make that decision very easily, right? Because they're all so great and so wonderful, and it changes on a daily basis. But that Air is often, the Air is often in the race. That's for sure. So, well, thanks a lot, Mike, for sharing that and talking about that, and just showing people that you don't need a lot to get the job done these days, and that as long as you really think long and hard about what you really need, about what you really need to save, about the things that you can do without, and come up with some tough questions and some honest answers. The truth is likely that you can do with far less than you think you can.
And it's like, for me, it was a big thing of trying to ignore the processor as being the most important thing anymore, and it's really not.
No.
I mean, the SSD is what makes the big difference here, and I could not estimate that until I had the device and was using it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, people don't realize how big of a difference hard drive speed can really make until you're on a fast hard drive and you're forced to go back to a slow one. And it can make a huge difference.
Yeah, that's another reason I hate turning the iMac on, because I feel like it takes a whole day and a half to turn on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, And now we're getting into punditry, which we try to avoid too on this show. But Apple just purchased a flash storage manufacturer. Just spent a little bit of that cash, so they're going all in with flash. There's no question about it. With flash storage, they're all in now. The moment that you see them bringing it in house means that they're going to start really. Like, it's not just because the Air is a hit, iPhone or the iPad. It's because they want to strategically position themselves, and I've said this for a while, I really do believe that 2012 will be the year that all of their devices go flash. All their devices go SSD. By the end of 2012, I'll couch this with... By the end of 2012, all of their portable devices will be flash-based, storage-based.
I mean, like, looking at things like, you know, you can get the option with the iMac to get the SSD boot drive. I think that sim will just be standard.
Right.
Because you can chuck two drives in there, can't you?
Right.
And you can, right. So one can be an SSD, and one can be a...
Standard hardware.
It's standard sort of 500 meg or 1 terabyte or something.
Right. But here's the other thing. God, we're so off base now, but I don't care. but the other thing that is kind of throwing this into whack is the fact that that flooding in Thailand has doubled and in some cases tripled hard drive prices. Have you tried to buy a hard drive lately?
I haven't, no.
Just to give you an idea, in 1 month's time, the price on, because I was going to going to buy one for my Drobo to increase the storage in there, a 2 terabyte Caviar Green, Western Digital Caviar Green.
Black is the crazy one, right?
Yeah, Caviar Black's the crazy fast one, but I go with the greens because I don't need the speed for the Drobo because I'm using it for client backup and kind of low bandwidth sort of things as far as speed goes. And the greens are quiet and low power, and so those things are important on especially in a device that has four of them. They were under $90. Last I checked, they were $180. In a month they went that fast. Because that flooding in Thailand affected all of the component suppliers for the hard drive manufacturers.
Right, yeah.
Right. Many of those components were actually made in Thailand. And the flooding kind of wiped that out. And they don't know they don't know when it's going to return. So the cost difference between SSD and, a standard drive, a SATA drive or whatnot, is much less than what it was before. And SSD prices are dropping. Standard hard drive prices are rising. You better believe that Apple is doing everything they can to get SSDs made by them in their factories now into every possible Mac they can, just simply from a cost perspective.
Yep.
Because otherwise they're gonna have to start raising the cost on their Macs to compensate. The cost of hard drives is beginning to cut into margins, right? I digress. Bottom line is, Mike, you made the right move. You're continuing to make the right move. I do exactly what you're doing, and hope our listeners are taking some stuff away from this and saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna ask some tough questions.
Indeed.
About need. So. All right. Well, thanks a lot. Really appreciate your sharing your story, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me share it with you.
All right. And we'll talk later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.